Okay, the title of our discussion, I was contemplating the thoughts to share, comes from a verse in the book of Hebrews that warns us about or against neglecting so great salvation. And we want to talk about so great salvation today in a form of a personal testimony. But it's a personal testimony of a different kind. And we'll see what we're talking about as we go along. And the thoughts I want to share today are very practical, they're very relevant, and they're very real. And they might serve as a reminder or a refresher or even news about what is revealed in God's Word, about some very, very important things that relate to our salvation. That's really the theme of the camp that we've been discussing throughout this weekend. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, we are told, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There is something about the preciousness of the blood of Christ that Peter is highlighting here. He says this is how we are redeemed. And he places this event as something that has already occurred in the past. Isn't that right? That has already happened. All the credit for this redemption goes to Christ, particularly the blood of Christ, which he refers to as precious. Today I want to explore a number of elements as to the preciousness of the blood of Christ and what it actually accomplished and the reality of it in a very practical sense. Why is the blood of Christ called precious? Now, one point here I should clarify, and I think we know that, but I want to clarify it. In the scriptures, when it talks about blood, it means life. Isn't that right? So we're talking about the blood of Christ, we're talking about the life of Christ. The precious life of Christ is what accomplished our redemption. This is how we are redeemed. What is so precious about this life of Christ? We want to explore that today. If I were to ask for a show of hands, how many people are redeemed here? Most likely I will get a full house of hands, a sea of hands. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But there is something that we are instructed as the redeemed to do in the scriptures as well. And this is the inspiration for this message too. In Psalms 107, verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hands of the enemy." The redeemed of the Lord are to do what? Are to say so. Are to declare their redemption, their testimony. And this is what I want to discuss. This is what I want to talk about today. So today I want to share my story and my testimony in light of what the scripture reveals. And the reason why I want to say it's my story is because I'll share some things that are personal and I will relate them to me, as you shall see in a minute. But you may relate to what I will say today as well. Chances are most of you might relate. Some might not. That's possible. But what I want to look at is what the scripture reveals about me personally. And we're going to see why I will do that. So first of all, I was born into this fallen world as a child of sinful Adam. Both my parents were sinners, and so I was born in their image. Born a sinner. Now this is my story, okay? You might not have been born that way. I'm telling you about me. And the reality of this as revealed in God's Word. And because of Adam's disobedience, I was made a sinner. I was dead in sins and a child of disobedience. That was my state. That was my condition. By nature, I was a child of wrath. And at that time, I was without Christ. I was an alien and a stranger. I'm referring to Bible verses here, if you can recognize them, of course. And as a result of that, as well, the scripture revealed that I was without hope and without God in the world. That was my condition. And I was in the flesh, and as I grew, the motions of sins worked in my flesh, bringing forth death. That's how I found my state to be. And this state of being as a sinner, I learned the truth of the scripture, this beautiful, beautiful verse in Romans chapter 5, which tells us Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the shedding of that precious blood or that precious life of Christ that brings about redemption. That's how I am now redeemed as a result of what Christ accomplished. This life, this blood of Christ, was the only solution to my greatest problem that I found myself in as a result of being born in the family of fallen Adam. The only solution to that problem was the life of Christ. Praise God for that. Today we're going to look at the solution. We're going to focus on that and spend some time in that. This precious blood of Jesus. When the Bible talks about the life of Christ and the blood of Christ, many times we use this terminology and it almost seems a little bit gruesome. We talk about being washed in the blood, you know, the blood was shed for us. And if you think about it, it's a bit gruesome or graphic. What it's talking about is really the life of Christ. It is life. Every time you see blood, it is life. We want to look at some components in particular, quite a number of components that make this life of Christ so precious and meaningful to me personally. And of course, like I said, you might well relate to that because it's based on what the scripture actually says. Because it's not just my story, it's actually a story of all those who partake of the life of Christ. But it has to be personal first and foremost. And the reason is very simple. It's because we read in the Bible, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that's what we're doing. We are saying so. And as we look at the verses today together, I want you to just really ponder the immense impact that is contained in some of these precious promises. They might be familiar. Most of them very likely are. But I really want us to think of what they really reveal to us. Because too many times, brothers and sisters, we really fail to grasp what is being given to us. I want to illustrate that before we get into it in this way. The Bible says very clearly that we don't just live by bread. We live how? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Very familiar with this verse. And chances are, had Jesus not quoted that verse in the New Testament, we would not place that much importance on it. But he happened to quote it, and so it's a familiar verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does that mean? God's word tells us things about our life that we might not otherwise know or realize or understand. There is a reality that the word of God reveals to us that enables us to see and understand things that otherwise we would not. And I want to explain it or illustrate that this way. Especially, of course, if we belong to Christ. That's the key. Like when you buy an item, when you buy an electronic item, like a camera for example, what usually comes with the camera is a little booklet, which is the user's manual. And the user's manual tells you all about the features of that camera that you bought, right? All the benefits, if you do this and do that, you know, some cameras, they have night vision. Some today, they have GPS tracking, where you can track the picture or the video with the GPS and know where it was taken. And you learn about the features of the camera as you read the instruction manual and how to use it. One time I bought a camera, a second-hand camera, and there was no manual that comes with it. So here I was trying to figure out the hard way, what does this camera do? And my appreciation of that camera was a lot less because I just had no one to tell me what that camera could do. It looked complicated enough, like it could do some good things, but I couldn't figure out half the time what they were or how I could even do it. You with me? Everything is like that these days, especially when it comes to electronics, you know. Some people don't like to read the instruction manual, I know. You want the quick setup. Sometimes you're trying to figure out yourself. But if you want to get the optimal use and understanding and benefit and features of the device that you bought, you better read the instruction manual. You actually gain more appreciation of what you have when you understand what it actually does. For example, you know, you have a phone. Phones today. Our phones today give us the ability because we know we have GPS and a map. If you ever feel lost and you have a phone in your pocket, your feeling of being lost is not as bad. Isn't that right? So long as you have signal or GPS. But you know, if it works, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And so this is why I'm saying, when you have an item that has no manual, your appreciation of it is a lot less. So the parallel, and why I'm using this as an illustration, is God's word, brothers and sisters, is the manual that tells us about the benefits and features of the life of Christ. That's what it is. You read about it, you read about all the things that it can do, that it has done, all the benefits you have as a buyer. Of course, you don't buy it with money or with price. You receive it as a gift. And this is why I want today to look at some key outstanding features in the manual. I'm not going to go through the whole manual, but I've selected some key points in the manual to help us realize what is contained in the life of Christ. And guess what? We live by the words that are contained in the scriptures that come out of the mouth of God. This tells us about the reality of what life is like for those who receive the blood of Christ. That's what we're doing today. And like I said, I'm personalizing it for me. So this is what I have learned as the redeemed of the Lord according to the word of God. First thing I learned in the scriptures, because of the blood of Christ, my sins have been carried. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This was a one-time event. It happened once. And when that happened, my sins were borne, were carried. I was one of the many in this verse. That applies to me. And so, I am to live my life with that understanding, with that reality, with that truth, knowing that if I have the life of Christ, that's the instruction manual of the benefits of the life of Christ, according to the maker, the author, the one who gave us all these things. Number two, I have healing. Here it is, 1 Peter 2:24. Who in his own self bare our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There are a number of things in this verse. I just focused on healing, because it also says that we are dead to sins. Healing, not just spiritual healing, brothers and sisters, but also what? Physical healing. That was illustrated in the life of Christ, time and time again. The reality of our experience is revealed by the Word. How much we believe the instruction manual will determine what kind of life and experience we have as possessors of the life of Christ. You with me? From time to time, as you use an item, you might find that you need to go back and refer to the manual. Well, how do I do that again in the camera? Or how do I use that feature in the phone? And you open up the manual. You ever find yourself doing that? Most definitely. It's good to check the manual of the real life that we need to live, the life of Christ. That's our reality. Healing is mine because of what Christ accomplished by His blood. And if you notice carefully, all the verses we're looking at today feature something about the blood of Christ or the life of Christ. The benefits, the rich benefits of the life of Christ in accomplishing all that. Number three, I am forgiven because of the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. If I have the life of Christ, I am forgiven. That is my reality. That is my existence now, according to the scriptures. Many times we struggle with whether we are forgiven or not. We have doubts. You might have doubts. This is why we're reading the instruction manual. We're keeping it simple. We're keeping it basic. But these simple, basic truths, brothers and sisters, are the foundations for the plan of salvation. God made it simple for us so that we can actually not just understand it, but experience it. And He made it simple for us by taking care of the complicated parts of it. Make no mistake about it. The plan of salvation is a very complicated thing to accomplish. It's an absolute genius plan. And it was so complicated and demanded so much that it took the death of God's own Son to accomplish. It's not a minor thing. But God took care of all these complicated parts of the plan of salvation so that we can have it simple for us. We just receive what He accomplished. Forgiveness is accomplished and given. We have that redemption in the blood of Christ. So I am forgiven. And as a result of that, number four, I am cleansed from sin. And here is that particular section of the manual that tells us that. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As a redeemed child of God, I have cleansing from how much sin? All sin, the Bible says. I want to tell you something. You might not necessarily feel that way. You might have doubt about that. We're just reading what the manual says. You with me? It's up to us to believe or not believe. That's why I want to remind each and every one of us. This is my reality if I have the life of Christ. Not only that, but I am also justified. Number five. As a result of that, I am justified. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So where once I was a child of wrath, I am justified by His life and saved from that condition. The blood of Christ accomplished that. Full justification for all those who believe. That's why I'm focusing on the positive now. I looked at what I was before briefly and my experience, which like I said, some of you could relate to. But this is the now. This is the reality for the believer. I am washed clean. Number six. I am washed clean because of the blood of Christ. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. There it is again. Another great accomplishment of the blood of Christ. Washed from our sins. Not only that, but that verse also says that I am loved. Isn't that right? Right there. It says He loved us and He washed us. You know, many people today struggle about whether they are accepted, whether they are loved, and how they stand with God. You want some evidence about the fact that you're loved? Look at the life and the blood of Christ. That's what we're told here. Cleansing from sin, being washed, and being loved. That's what we learn from this verse. And then this next one is number seven. And I put this as number seven, not by accident. Seven is a good number, right? Number seven, according to the scriptures, I have eternal life. And here it is. John chapter 6, verse 53 and 54. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the reality if we have the life of Christ. If I have the life of Christ, partake of His blood, I have eternal life. Some people are a little bit hesitant about saying things like that. That's why we're not going by anyone's opinion on the matter. We're living by God, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. These are the words that God gave about the reality that exists for all those who partake of the blood of Christ. It's up to you and me to receive, to believe that or not. Too often we disbelieve the words of the scripture. And our life as Christians does not reflect the reality that is revealed in that. That's why I want to review the manual a little bit. And look at these basics. In the blood of Christ and partaking of it, I have eternal life. And of course, next point, I am an overcomer over the enemy. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. How we overcome is by the life of the Son. In the life of the Son, brothers and sisters, there is complete victory over sin, over Satan. If you have the life of the Son, you have complete victory over the enemy. You have been made an overcomer. As a matter of fact, Apostle Paul says, not only are we conquerors, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's the reality of the existence of all those who were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Is that your reality? Is that my reality? Let it be to us according to our faith. We need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just quote that verse. It's easy to quote that verse. We know it, yeah, let's quote it. But do we live truly by the words that come out of God's mouth? Does God's word give us the reality of our existence and we live in that reality? Or are we still living somewhere else? In the doubt? That's the question. Number 9. I have peace with God. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The blood and the life of Christ brought peace, reconciliation. I am reconciled, I have peace with God. Where before I was an enemy of God, I have peace with God through the blood of Christ. How does that impact your experience day in and day out? Many people feel God frowns upon them, even as Christians. Somehow, for some reason, some experience happens and maybe they feel not 100% sure about their reconciliation and their peace with God. I want to remind you about the blood of Christ, about the life of Christ. If you have that, you have peace with God, according to the scriptures. The problem too often is we consult our feelings when it comes to our spiritual life and not the instructor's manual. And we go by our feelings, and it's like in the dark you're looking for that button in the camera which does this function and try and feel for it and hope you hit the right one. It's so much easier and simpler to go turn the light on and read the instruction manual and you'll get it right. Let's do that spiritually. Instead of groping in the dark, hoping for the best and hoping that we stand well with God and not sure and wondering, let us go to the instruction manual and see what is our reality in the life of the Son. That's the key. The blood of Christ gives us peace with God. Number 10, I am brought near to God. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I was afar off at one point, born in an alien family, in a fallen race, afar off. The blood of Christ brings me near to God. Brought nigh to God by the blood of Christ. There is so much in the blood of Christ. You get the idea that it must be so precious, right? It accomplished all these things. All these things and more. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just simply some highlights. All these things, brothers and sisters, are the preciousness of the life of Christ. This is the reality according to God. How is it with you and how is it with me? Here's another one. I really like this one, number 11. I'm translated to a new kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want you to think about that for a minute. My standing, my condition, as far as God is concerned, is no longer in the kingdom of darkness. Through the blood of Christ, I have been transported. That's what translated means. I've been transported to a new kingdom. The kingdom that belongs to His Son. I am a citizen of that kingdom now. When I went to Australia, I was not a citizen of Australia. I had to go through a process to obtain my citizenship in Australia and be naturalized. And you put applications and you pay money and you go through all the process. And then there is the citizenship ceremony where they give you your citizenship papers and I become a citizen. So now I am a citizen of Australia. I have a passport to prove it. I have a certificate to prove it. That's in this world. According to the Bible, brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ makes us citizens of a new kingdom. Our citizenship papers are nothing other than the life of the Son. You don't have to pay, and you don't have to fill an application process and wait for some committee to make a decision and call you up and say you've been accepted. The blood of Christ gives us citizenship in a new kingdom. And when you receive the life of Christ, God has moved you from one kingdom to a new kingdom. Too often we live like we're still in the old kingdom. Like we're wondering, how is our application process going in the halls of heaven? Right? We doubt, we question, we wonder. This is why God has revealed these truths, and we are to live by what He has revealed in His Word. I have been translated into the kingdom of His Son, and so have you if you receive the life of Christ. That's our new citizenship. And let us live as citizens of that kingdom. That's why Jesus said when He was on earth, "My kingdom is not of this world," right? A new kingdom. Ken was talking about the kingdom earlier. That's the kingdom we have been translated to or transported to. Number 12, I have been made righteous. Now it gets theologically interesting, right? All these big debates about theological terms. Here is how the life of Christ does that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Whose righteousness is it? It's God's own righteousness. So you can forget about yours. "And you have been made, I have been made, the very righteousness of God in Christ." Wow. Ponder the truth that is contained in that verse for a minute. How many times do we seek to do righteousness and have righteousness in all kinds of ways? Here is the righteousness of God, and it's completely given in Christ. If you have Him, you have been made righteous. I have been made righteous according to what God says in His Word here. You realize that? How that happens, of course, is by faith, by receiving the life of Christ. And you receive it not by doing anything, not by accomplishing anything to impress God, not by filling an application or anything of the sort, not by a prerequisite that you have to do thus and so and prove that you are worthy to have that righteousness. You receive it when you receive Christ. It is a gift. And that's why we talk about salvation being by grace through faith. It is through faith. Now I want to talk about this just briefly for a minute, because this is a question that comes up. We're talking about righteousness here, and righteousness is by faith. And we talked earlier about being justified. Was one of the points, as a result of that, we're justified by his blood. Is there a difference between being justified and being made righteous? Well, it depends who you ask and their theological definitions. Sometimes people say, well, righteousness by faith, that's one thing, and it's defined thus and so, and there is justification by faith, and the two are not the same. Is righteousness by faith the same as justification by faith? Biblically, most definitely yes. Biblically. I'm not sure how people define things, but biblically, that's what we go by. I want to look at a verse in light of that, because sometimes we have all these theological terms, and honestly, we complicate salvation. We have this definition, and there's justification here, and define this one, righteousness, and then sanctification, and this one's here, and that one's there, and we complicate the whole thing, and we make it into a big mess. And so, oh no, you're justified, but you're not sanctified yet. Or no, you're justified, but righteousness is something else and this. And most of the time people get confused. Let's just go back to the manual. Not the books that people wrote about explaining the manual. How about that, huh? Here it is from the manual. Let's look at it. Romans 3, verses 21 to 26. "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." See what Paul did there? He's talking about the righteousness of God, which we looked at just briefly before. How that happens or how that comes to us is how? By faith, and specifically faith in His blood. And when you have the righteousness of God, what happens to you? It says here, you are justified freely by His grace. By the same faith, you are made righteous. The very righteousness of God, and you are justified freely by His grace. Justification by faith is righteousness by faith, brothers and sisters. In other words, let me put it to you this way, it's very easy. Can you be justified and not righteous? Can you be righteous and not justified? Well, there you go. As a matter of fact, if you look up the meaning of the word justified, it means to be made righteous. Righteousness is to be justified. It is by faith. Let's not complicate things. Let's not make it harder for ourselves. Let's put the focus on the life of Christ. That's what accomplishes this, accomplishes that reality for us. As a result of that, the very life of Christ, this precious life of Christ, number 13 is the next point. I have the new covenant. I learned that because of what Jesus said in Luke 22 and verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The new covenant that I'm referring to is not the last portion of our Bibles. According to Jesus, where is the new covenant? In His blood. Isn't that right? The new covenant, according to Christ, is in His blood. Having the blood of Christ, the life of Christ, means I have the new covenant. Having a Bible in my bag or at home doesn't mean I have the new covenant. Even though I have a section in my Bible that is called the New Testament. Because testament means covenant. It's the same thing, right? We are prone to think of the covenant, the new covenant, as that part of the Bible. I have news for you. According to God Himself, the new covenant is actually in the life of His Son. That part of our Bible called the new covenant tells us about that reality. That's why we're reading that verse from the New Testament, telling us about the reality of the covenant that exists in His blood. So I want us to think about that carefully, brothers and sisters, because many times we are prone to think that God's Word is equivalent with the Son of God Himself. You with me? We interchange the Bible with the author of the Bible, and we think the two are equivalent. I have news for you. They are not, according to Jesus. Remember He told the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me. So according to Jesus, is eternal life in the Scriptures? No, where is eternal life? In Him. The Scriptures tell you about where eternal life is. The Bible tells us about the reality of what is in the blood of Christ. That's where the covenant is. If you have that life, you have the new covenant. I don't have time to look at it now, but I've covered it in another study. If you actually look carefully, you'll find that the new covenant is not some kind of a contract or a deal. The new covenant is actually a person. It's Christ Himself. Christ is that covenant. And He, in receiving Him, you have that covenant. It's in His blood. It's in His life. Next one I want to talk about, number 14. I have full assurance of faith. That's one that really comes up a lot. Here it is from God's Word. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Is that your reality? This is the reality for all those who have the life of Christ. Boldness, confidence, full assurance of faith. You're struggling with that? Don't try and muster up more faith. Remember the life of Christ. That's where our confidence is. That's where our assurance is. Remember how precious that life is. All the benefits that are contained in it. That's the reality. And believe and live by God's Word. I really don't think we fully realize and understand what we have. To be honest, I don't think we do. We're not living up to the full measure of what we have in Christ. That's why you have this repeated time and time again. Even the apostles, you see, they write the letters to remind and encourage the believers of the reality that we have in Christ. If we did realize it, if we did live it, I tend to think that things would be vastly different. But that's why we're here. And that's why we're looking at that, brothers and sisters, right? We want to live by God's word. Too often we're living our lives without God's word. We're living it in the flesh, by the bread and the water alone, by the things that we feel, the things that we experience physically. This is what constitutes the life we live. And the spiritual stuff, oh, maybe in the meeting, we feel that a little bit. Maybe on Sabbath, we get a bit extra. But do we live our lives day in and day out by the word of God? That's the challenge. That's what I'm sharing with you. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? We live in the world like the world, more so than not. Here is the reality of the existence of the life of Christ and all those who have the life of Christ. That's why it says, the precious blood of Jesus has redeemed us, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you know that in saying so, it reflects positively on our faith and the faith of those that hear us? That is why we are instructed to relay that, to say that, to express that. That's why the verse read earlier that it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of our testimony. As we express the reality of our existence, it might remind a struggling brother or sister of how living by God's word is like. And we grasp a hold of that. That's why we're talking about that today. So I'm sharing this not to discourage you, okay? To encourage you. The manual has some good treasures in it. It's good to look at it from time to time. And finally, our last point for this study, number 15. And strangely enough, this is under controversy. I have Christ living within me, according to what He says in His Word. Where did I learn that? Right here, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul is saying that. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. First point I want to note here, Paul is personally expressing his life, his experience, in light of God's Word. I find it interesting that Paul doesn't say here, we are all crucified with Christ and we all live by faith and Christ lives in us. What's he doing? He's making it personal. It's like he excludes everyone and says, listen, this is for me. According to God's Word, according to what Christ accomplished in His blood, His precious blood, as a result of that, I'm crucified with Christ and I don't live any longer. And guess what? Christ lives in me. That's Paul. And it's not just for Paul, okay? But it's personal. Too many times, the truths of the Word are generalized. And we fail to personalize them. God so loved the world. And personally, we feel, I'm not sure if God loves me. Right? Faith for everyone and redemption and all these things, we generalize them. It's easy to say, yes, God loved the world, redeemed the world and all these things. Paul didn't do that here. Paul personalized it. Brothers and sisters, God's word is written. The truths of the blood of Christ and the benefits and the realities of that is written for you personally. That's what it's about. You with me? Make it personal. Don't worry about your brother, your sister. Don't worry about the preacher. Don't worry about what's happening here or there. You are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's the good if someone else lives that? And what's the benefit to you? How do you live? That's the question. That's how Paul said it. This is how Paul lived it. This is how Paul expressed it. He no longer lives. Christ lives in me. Why am I saying this is under controversy? Because this truth, if it's truly grasped and understood, is transforming, not just for you, but for those who are in your under your sphere of influence and those that you meet. If God's people, God's church truly realize that as the body of Christ, we have Christ living in us. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is none other than Christ. I don't need to establish that. I think that's established well and truly. By God's word that tells us that, not just because we agreed that that's so, right? God's word established that for us. Then Christ, brothers and sisters, will be seen in a way that will captivate the attention of the world. If every individual in the body had that realization and that reality truly, things would be vastly different. And so it's no wonder that the enemy has concocted all kinds of false ideas to put away Christ from us. A popular one we talk about more often than not is the idea that says, it's not Christ that lives in you, but someone else. Someone entitled God the Holy Spirit. That's not the teaching of the Scripture. That's not what Paul understood. It's Christ. It's the precious life of Christ, not someone else's life. We are redeemed by that life. All these benefits are the benefits of the life of Christ, not anyone else. How dare we credit anyone else? It's a woeful insult to Christ to even suggest that someone else has the credit of all these things that He has done and accomplished for us. But a bit closer to home, we even have the same idea in a bit of a different form, where even people among us say, no, it's not Christ that lives in us. That cannot be. That's akin to pantheism. Maybe you heard that. Well, what is it then? Well, it's actually the words of the Bible inside you, or maybe as you remember them. It's as you decide to follow the word. Maybe you heard that. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Be careful what you hear and what you believe. You better check the manual. If you want to get the most out of the precious blood of Christ. I said it before and I'll say it again. If it's anyone other than Christ, or if it's anything less than Christ, then it is not really Christ. We dishonor the life and the blood of Christ when we try and suggest all these theological things that get in the way between us and Christ. Christ came as a man. He died, He shed His blood so that He can live in us and give us His life. And let me tell you something. The life of Christ does not come apart from Christ. The life of Christ is not some item that He sends you with some messenger. The life of Christ is Him. You with me? If you have the life of Christ, you have Him. It's not some item you get a little bit here, the package you get in the mail, get some life of Christ. Or you read some Bible and you get more of the life of Christ. That's what people imagine. People think that as they partake of the Bible, the written word, they have Christ. Christ is the living word. The written word tells you about the reality of the living word. The two are not synonymous. This is the danger we fall into so many times. Possessing the life of Christ is a miracle. A miracle that God accomplishes. It's not something that you can do. Here is a book, here are some instructions, you can do it. Beware of anyone who would diminish the life of Christ in such a way. And that's among us. I've had discussions with people saying, no, you can't say Christ lives in us. How can one being live in another? That sounds like spiritualism. Whoa! You heard that? You read in the Bible about people possessed by demons. That's one being living in another, right? And nobody goes, woo. Well, maybe if they're afraid of a demon-possessed person, right? But here is a fallen angel who possesses the very being of a human. Fallen angels can do that. And you say the creator of the angels is incapable of doing that? Maybe some of these people should meet some demon-possessed folks to remind them of the reality of spiritual things. Christ wants to live in us, brothers and sisters, in a real and living way, a way that will transform our being. If you have the life of Christ, according to the Scriptures, Christ lives in you. Let us live that reality. It's that simple. Do we live by God's Word or not? We lost the slides. Let's get this back on. That's the challenge. That's the question. Which life do you live? Let's summarize what we found so far. 15 points, 15 features of this precious blood of Christ. Here is the reality of our life according to God's Word. My sins are carried. I have healing. I am forgiven. I am cleansed from sin. I am justified and I am washed and I have eternal life. I am an overcomer over the enemy. I have peace with God and I am brought near to Him. I am translated to this new kingdom of His dear Son. I have been made righteous. I have the new covenant. I have full assurance of faith. And I have Christ living within me. We just looked at 15 points. There is more. But I think this is an impressive list. Don't you? If we just grasp a hold of the reality of that, brothers and sisters, this is how precious the blood of Christ is. This is how our salvation was accomplished. This is how we are redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And as the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We don't say so enough. That's why I'm saying so today. And that's why I'm saying this is my personal testimony. So if you disagree or you find objection with that, that's for me. That's what I take from God's Word. If you can relate to it, good and well. If you object to it, God bless you. I'm not going to argue with you. Because salvation is personal. It's a personal matter. So that's my challenge to you today, brothers and sisters. We have so great salvation. We're just scratching the surface with our understanding sometimes. Let us appreciate that. Let us receive that and receive the full reality of what that means. Let us live truly by God's word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's kneel and we'll close with a word of prayer.